In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. My brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ. Always read the fine print. Never accept anything as everything it claims to be without taking a good, long look at it. And if it seems to be good, too good to be true, take a step back. There's no huge decision in life that'll impact your life for months or years to come that doesn't benefit a little from some contemplation, from some stepping back and reviewing just to make sure you see all of the give and take of the transaction. Because after all, at first blush, especially if you don't know the person making the presentation to you all that well, you have no idea what their motivation is for presenting what they are to you, and maybe even everything that will be required of you in that fine print. That's never the way it is with Jesus. Never happens with him. In fact, he is the polar opposite. Passage after passage, circumstance after circumstance, Jesus stands before the world and tells who he is and how we need to understand him and what the cost will be for following him. He never backs away. He never pretends. He never sugarcoats it in any way. A modern public relations advisor would look Jesus in the eye and tell him, you can't do it this way. You can't expect people to receive you positively if you're always going to be in their face and fully transparent and aggressive and telling them truths that are difficult to accept without any softening, without any shaping, without any messaging. And I guarantee you that not just in this moment in time, but ever, would Jesus ever take a step back and think his approach was not exactly what should be for any generation? Jesus is transparent. He's downright blunt. And he wants us to understand everything we're getting ourselves into for a very good reason. Large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and turning to them, he said, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even their own life, such a person cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not carry their cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Suppose one of you wants to build a tower. Won't you first sit down and estimate the cost to see if you have enough money to complete it? For if you lay the foundation and are not able to finish it, everyone who sees it will ridicule you, saying, 'This person began to build and wasn't able to finish.' Or suppose a king is about to go to war against another king. Won't he first sit down and consider whether he is able with 10,000 men to oppose the one coming against him with 20,000? If he is not able, he will send a delegation while the other is still a long way off and will ask for terms of peace. In this same way, those of you who do not give up everything you have cannot be my disciples. Salt is good, but if it loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is fit neither for the soil nor for the manure pile. It is thrown out. Whoever has ears to hear, let them hear." Hate is a very strong word, Jesus. You and I know just how strong that word is because of the world in which we live, where if you're not all that careful about the way you speak, you may be accused of a hate crime. Hate is a very, very touchy word in the world in which we live. Could it get any touchier than the way Jesus uses it here? Context is everything, isn't it? Ultimately, what Jesus is saying is that anything and everything that gets you to distance yourself from me, to push back at my word, to not be certain of your connection to me, your commitment to me. And certainly what Jesus is saying is, if anything or anyone causes you to hate me, even in a moment where your relationship with me is costing you something, you need to hate them instead of me. What Jesus is really doing here, very simply, is putting First Commandment truths in front of us. He's reminding us of the very basic message of God. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Have no other gods before him. Fear, love, and trust in God above all things. Everything, everyone, there isn't anything or anyone that is more important in speaking to us, in guiding us, in correcting us, in making promises to us than our eternal God. And Jesus could not be any more transparent than he is about that. That literally means putting God first above everything else, putting God's word first above the word of anyone else. It's hard, isn't it? Jesus knows how hard it is because of how he follows up on that statement. Later expressing the reality that if the cross isn't at the center of our lives, every moment of every day, if it's not a constant presence, if it's not in our sight line, in our thoughts, in our understanding of the world in which we're living at the moment, no matter what it might be that we're doing, thinking, saying, we've distanced ourselves too far from him. And if we're ever in the mood to tell our Christianity to sit in the back seat of our lives so that those around us who we're interacting with on the job, in the neighborhood, in the family, aren't seeing Christ when they see us, we've actually hated him instead of hating those things and people that would have us hate Jesus instead. And he uses two examples, two illustrations that are so straightforward and yet so powerful. If you're going to build something and you don't want to be the laughingstock of all who view your project, you better know what you're doing. You better count the cost. You better have plans. You better have it all laid out in documentation for a plan to follow. Or you might be one of those people who build something that long after stands as a monument to your folly, that generations later point to as that's the person that started that, and look what became of it. And the second illustration has more historical connotations to it as well. Think about how many generals, how many kings have not just lost their authority over the people they ruled, but lost their own lives for being negligent, shallow in their evaluation of those who would stand opposed to them. It's important for us to understand who we're up against. And the scriptures make it clear that the enemies aren't all just out there. Our sinful nature, lurking inside of us, twisting our thoughts, turning our hearts and our minds on a daily basis, are just as evil and challenging and powerful as that hungry, roaring lion of a devil just seeking at any moment to pounce and devour. And if we underestimate any of that, it's only to our own peril and to the potential of our eternal destruction. And then Jesus turns to salt and leads you to ask questions about yourself on the basis of that terminology. Am I flavoring every relationship? Am I flavoring every moment of every day as I walk through my world with my Christianity, with my love for Christ, with my commitment to Him, with my desire to follow Him in His Word and live as His child, as His disciple, and what that makes, how that makes me different moment to moment, day to day? He tells you. If you've lost your flavor, you're no good for even the manure pile. Just need to be thrown out. If you're not salting the world in a positive way, seasoning it with love and forgiveness, mercy and kindness, but also truth that defines the world by God's definition. This is hard, isn't it? Because Jesus is making it clear when we look at those first commandment realities that He places in front of us, that nothing gets to take God's place in our lives, defining who we are, defining what is right or wrong, what is lasting and what is temporary, what is important and what is not. And it's kind of interesting how that plays into our thought process as Christians. How many of us don't often get twisted around the flagpole, all concerned about whether this moment is the most difficult moment for anyone to be living their Christian faith? Didn't it seem easier some time ago in some other era or even some earlier point of my life? Or is the world in which I'm living right now getting more and more difficult to negotiate who I am in Christ and what the world is asking me to be apart from Christ? And Jesus doesn't care about any of that. Because He knows. He tells us in so many words. Unbelief and misbelief are always going to be around you. The temptations of the world in which you live are always going to be there. Your perception of whether this is an easier moment or not to live for Christ is only that, your perception. It never enters into Christ's thinking. He's wanting you to be vigilant and honest and transparent every moment of every day, asking yourself those exceptionally important questions. Am I understanding what I'm up against? Am I hating the things that I need to hate? Am I flavoring the world in which I live with Christ's truth and Christ's love and Christ's direction on a daily basis rather than living my own way, accepting so much of the world around me because of its pressures? It's unrelenting pressures to listen to it and follow it. And it's so much easier to just leave it as an it when it doesn't have a face, when it doesn't have a voice, when it doesn't have some authority or importance in my life, like a boss or a spouse or a neighbor that's hard to get along with or whatever else it might be. Are you worried about being canceled? Jesus tells you not to worry about it, but to expect it. That there will be people who hate you because you love Him. And when you turn in response to their hate towards you with love towards them and hate towards Christ as your response, you've completely missed the point of everything that Jesus is saying here. Boy, that's hard to hear transparency like that, isn't it? Who else? Who else in history? Who else in anything that you would read or watch or listen to ever reaches the level of transparency of your God, your Savior God, who is your brother, who has lived this human experience facing every temptation as you and I have, and yet has remained without sin? It's not like the world was all that different when He was here walking around for those 30 plus years. In fact, you and I know from the pages of Scripture that it was the most ferocious moment the devil ever unleashed in human history. Unrelenting from every direction and yet perfect and flawless in response to all that temptation and all that sin and all that brokenness for the purpose of paying for your sin and mine. The whole mountainous pile of infinite sins, whole world has built over the course of time, every single one of them wiped away, paid for in the perfection of Jesus Christ. He has to be transparent for us. Because it's the only way he'll really get us to count the cost. To count the cost and understand for ourselves what is really expensive and what is really free. No government, no corporation this world has ever known really wants you to truly count the cost of what they're up to in your life. Not a one. And quite frankly, most people you interact with on a daily basis really don't want you keeping track of where the balance stands between you and them in regard to what you do for them and what they do for you, what you expect of them and what they expect of you. Because more often than not, when we humbly use Jesus' level of transparency and all of that, we find ourselves in debt to just about everyone else. But that's a good thing. Because it leads us to understand the real cost of living our lives in a sinful world. And it leads us to understand and treasure and value how that cost has already been paid. Jesus wants you through a conversation like this to come to realize there is no need for you to pay for anything he's already paid for in full. And so the cross at the center of your life is a blessing and not a curse. Something that you love and that you do not hate. And something that you will ask the Holy Spirit on a daily basis through word and sacrament to draw you closer to, more reliant on, more confident in, so that every day you love your transparent Savior, Jesus Christ. And you hate every last thing that he hates. That you're growing day by day to be more transparent, more truth-seeking, more honest and humble and accepting of a truth that no one else will tell you but Jesus will. Because it means the difference between living forever or not. That's the most important cost you can count. Amen. Please stand. Now grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen.